book of Job in the Word of God. If you would turn there with me, please. The book of Job. And I'm going to ask you to turn to chapter 14. Job chapter 14. I have tried in these sermons during the revival to feed you a variety of selections from the Word of God. Normally, as you know, Brother Bagel just settles into a series and stays there the entire week. And actually, this text was birthed out of one of those series. I was studying, and I was in Pennsylvania preaching a revival. Came across a book. The book's written by a Christian man, a medical doctor who is saved. And he had a great interest, listen to this, in trees. Just in trees. And he wrote a book from a biblical perspective on trees. It captivated me. I got interested in it. And I thought this, would it be possible to preach a series of sermons on the trees of the Bible? The trees of the Bible. And our printer printed a little booklet on the trees of the Bible. And I preached that in a revival meeting in a church. Enjoyed it so much. The trees of the Bible. You would say, preacher, I don't know if that's that important or not, the trees of the Bible. Can I tell you something? The Bible starts with a tree and it ends with a tree. Starts with the tree of life in Eden, ends with the tree of life in New Jerusalem. And I think I'll say this, you'll smile, you'll know what I mean. In the middle of the Bible, there is sure enough a tree. The tree we call Calvary, the old rugged cross where Jesus died. The law said, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus took that curse upon himself for us. Peter talks about Jesus being nailed, being hung on a tree. And that's good. Trees, trees, trees all the way through the Bible. Brother Bill, I preached a sermon on the sycamore tree. And it's such an interesting tree. And my text was over there in Luke chapter 19, where that little short fella named Zacchaeus, he climbed up that tree. But it's the best thing he ever did. He met Jesus that day, and I just had a good time. The trees of the Bible. Do you ever think of this? And you probably heard it, and I don't want to just, I got to preach my text from Job 14, but the Bible starts with a man behind a tree. A man behind a tree. That's old Zacchaeus. I get over to my New Testament, and I find a man up the tree. That's Zacchaeus. He's up there. He's trying to see Jesus, and all my salvation came to his house that day. But the solution to the man, the problem of the man that's behind the tree, and the answer under the situation of the man up the tree is found from the one who died on the tree, from my Savior, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his shed. But trees, they have a real emphasis in the Word of God. So this was one of my tree texts. It was in the booklet. Job chapter 14. Verses 7, 8, and 9. Just read along with me if you would. And again, here's my Bible, King James Bible. I got it right here in front of me. I'm laying it right here on the pulpit. But I have put my text on a poster board, big print. It'll help me to keep up with it and to read it. Job 14, 7. For there is hope of a tree. Oh my goodness, we're already talking about it. There is hope of a tree if it be cut down. Well, I'm sad to report this tree. Somebody's cut it down. There is hope of a tree if it be cut down that it will sprout again. Well, now, Brother Bagwell, you go out here on these big oak trees and you cut that thing down. I don't know if it's going to sprout again. It will sprout again, or at least there's hope that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. I mean, here's a tree, and it's got some hope. And look at verse 8. It adds to, it's worse than it sounds. This tree's not only been cut down, though the root thereof wax old in the earth. It's an old tree. And I know trees can live to be 100 years old. Some of them can live. It's believed that there may be some olive trees in Jerusalem that were around when Jesus was praying beneath them on those evenings and worshiping his Father. But this one, it's extreme. It waxes old in the earth. And the stalk, that's the trunk, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. Well, that's it. This tree's cut down. This tree was old to begin with. And now the stalk has died in the ground. You forget this one. You better go out and get you some saplings and plant you another tree or two, because verse 9, yet. I'm glad for God's yets and God's howevers and moreovers. And yet, through the scent of water. Now that must be something special right there. Through the scent of water, it will bud. What will bud? The only thing in this text that can bud is the tree. It will bud and bring forth boughs. I think that means limbs. It will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe I have read here of a direct work of God. That's a miracle. That tree's cut down. That tree's forsaken. That tree is old to begin with. It could have said it died of old age again. And then on top of that, it's a dead tree. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a dead tree, but it's still got hope. It personifies her. It's still got hope. I know everything's against me, but I've got some hope. What could possibly help me? The stalk has died in the ground. And then one day, I guess it's a thunderstorm. It's a rain cloud of some kind, and it's drifting this way. My dad, back when we had a garden, everybody had a garden, he'd have his seed in the ground, and he'd say, "Now that cloud looks promising. I believe that drifting this way, and I believe we're going to get some rain out of it." Back then, everybody had their own well. If you didn't have a lot of water in your well, you couldn't water your garden a lot. You got to have that water for drinking and cooking and bathing and all that. That cloud looks promising. Well, this old tree is a dead tree. I mean, it's in bad shape, but there's but the promising cloud doesn't come through. It didn't rain. It drifted a little bit over there to the southeast of us. But the tree got a scent of water. It didn't say it got a gully washer. It didn't say somebody poured 50 or 10 gallons. It didn't even say somebody poured. It got the scent of water. And when it got the scent of water, it budded. And it brought forth limbs. Like a little plant does as it grows in a healthy environment, right amount of sun, right temperature. A dead tree come to life. A dead tree that has been revived. That's the text that I want us to look at. I don't know how scientifically we can approach this, though this can happen even in the world of nature. Grandma Green, when I was a little boy, there's an oak tree. It had died, or we thought it had died, and they cut it. And had somebody come in, they cut big chains on it. They cut it down. I went back out there the next summer, and coming up out of the side of that dead oak tree, there were these little shoots. I think the old timers called them suckers. There were these little suckers. It can't happen in the world of nature. But I'm going to preach it happening in the spiritual world. Oh boy. Verse 7. Let's look at it together in the sermon this evening. There is hope. And this hope is linked to there is hope of a tree. I just want to go that far. There is hope of a tree. I would not be surprised that God put these three verses in the book of Job because of Job himself. Job was a giant tree for God. What a testimony that man had. Indeed, he was a patriarch. But guess what happened? Job got cut down. Lost all of his children. He lost, y'all know the story, lost his livelihood. Before it was over, I guess even the stock barrel was about. He lost his health, scraping pus and corruption from him sitting on a heap of ashes. And I thank God, says Job, you're about to lose hope. You're about to figure that it's all over. He said, I wish I knew why. I wish that I could present my case before God. There's a lot Job didn't understand. He's that cut down oak tree. But then one day, I hope I get an amen here. Then one day God sent on Job a scent of water. And God said, tornado, a thorn. God came through and after God sent him a scent of water. And like Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, old Job revived. Old Job got things right. Old Job came back strong. Old Job in the end was twice the man that he was in the beginning. The scent of water and an old oak tree. I think God's trying to give Job some hope. I think, boy, God's given me hope many a time. He's encouraged me. Why, one member of the Trinity, the Godhead, is the Holy Ghost. He's called the Comforter. That means the hope giver, the hope bringer, the hope sustainer. And Jesus said, I'm coming back. Paul said, call that one the blessed hope, the blessed of all people. Jesus is a resurrected Savior. If he weren't, Paul would say, we have no hope. But he's a resurrected, he's a living Savior. Glory to God. There is hope of a tree. I'm telling you the truth. In our King James Bible, that word hope is translated line, L-I-N-E, two times. Now, preacher, you better go back. I've went back twice to check it. Line, hope, line. Now, I do not see immediately any connection between hope and line. But it is a fact in the King James Bible, built on the Masoretic text, that's the case. So I'm thinking, ignorant preacher, I'm thinking, I'm going to find out where that word line is used in my Bible. We're going to go to the book of Joshua. We're going to go to two little Jewish spies, two little soldier boys. They're on a recon mission. They're checking out a city called Jericho. Let me sort of compact my story. They end up in the house of a woman named Rahab. And Rahab, not in the best line of work in the world, Rahab, but she had faith. She believed that God of Israel was a God of might and a God of power. She hid those two little Jewish boys. She protected them. She got them back out of there safe. And she said, I know this city's going to fall. You wouldn't be here. God's got his target. His wrath is against it. And I want to live. I want to be spared. I want to be saved. You don't ask God to get saved without God doing something. He'll save you. Bless your heart. And they said, well, there is. We'll save you. These walls are going to fall, but yours will be. And said, you got to do this. You got to take a scarlet line. You got to take a red rope. You got to hang it out the window. There, that scarlet line is a picture of the blood. It is a picture of Calvary. It is a picture of our, I'm getting excited. It is a picture of our Savior. There is hope. You know where my hope is lying. My hope is in Calvary. My hope is in the blood. My hope is in the death of Jesus. My hope is in the fact he'll save, he has saved me and will deliver me from the wrath to come. Bless his good name. Ties hope in with the blood of the Lord Jesus. There is hope of a tree. Now that's interesting. The word tree in Hebrew, ets. I would spell it E-T-Z-S. The Hebrew teacher wouldn't, but ets. And it means tree. Yes. But 107 times. Brother Bill, that's what I was writing down a minute ago. I'm going to get my numbers right. 107 times in our Bible, this word is translated wood. W-O-O-D, wood. Now you know where I'm going. You get a Bible preacher, the word wood, and he's going straight to the wood of the old rugged cross. I'm going to that wood where my Savior was nailed. I'm going to that wood where His blood flowed from His body. I'm going to that wood. I'm going to that hill called Calvary. And I'm going to preach that Jesus said. He died for everybody, and He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, got to repent. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. There is hope in a tree. There is hope in the wood. There is hope in the old rugged cross. See, I'm spiritualizing the text, but I'm enjoying doing it. There is hope of a tree. But then something bad happens. If it be cut down. If it be cut down. Somebody has decimated this tree. Somebody has leveled this tree up. It has been cut down. But preacher, how in the world are you going to apply that? I could say this. My Savior, in the prime of His life, 33 years of age. Even the Pharisees said, you're not yet 50. No, He wasn't. 33 years of about when He died on that cross. He was cut down. He was cut off. They thought they had murdered Him. They didn't murder Him. He laid His life down for you and for me. It's cut down like that tree was cut down. My Savior, who died on that tree, has been cut down. I could preach it that way and it's sort of feeling good doing it, but that verb cut down 85 times. In our King James Bible, it is translated to make in this sense, to make a covenant. To make a covenant. Now, preacher, I don't understand where you're going with that. To make a covenant in Old Testament parlance, in Old Testament, is to cut a covenant. It is the word to cut. That's why cut down is make a covenant. Also, to cut. Why has it got to be cut if all you're doing is agreeing on something, making a covenant? And a covenant's a whole lot more than a contract. But every time a covenant's made in the Old Testament, something dies. Got to be an animal to die. Got to be some bloodshed. And that animal will be cut. That animal will be parted. And at God's covenant with Abraham, He killed an animal, parted the animal. God walked between the bloody pieces of that animal to cut a covenant. It's common parlance in Judaism yet today to cut a covenant. If it be cut down. Let me tell you, for my hope to become a reality, for any hope of resurrection for me, revival for me to become true in my life, something had to be cut down. There was a covenant that had to be cut. There was a covenant. Jesus died. His blood was shed. Let me tell you what salvation is. And I got to be careful because some fellows, they only preach covenant, and that gets into a doctrinal persuasion that I'm a leery of to the nth degree. Cut a covenant. Salvation is a covenant. Salvation is a covenant. I don't understand New Testament, New Covenant. How is salvation? My Savior was, His side was ripped apart. His hands were pierced through His death. Through that blood, here's a covenant. If you will do this, I will do that. Most covenants are conditioned upon something. If you will do this, I will do that. Here's the covenant of salvation. I love it. If you will trust me, that's not works. If you will believe on me, you can't buy it. It's not something you can. If you will believe on me, I'll do this. God said, I'll save you. I'll carry you to heaven. I'll write your name in the Lamb's book of life. I'll wash your sins away. That's a covenant. cut a covenant. Right here, if that tree be cut down, there's hope. If you've been cut down, there's hope through the blood. There's hope through the Savior. Oh, my tree that's been cut down. But Jesus is the answer. Jesus, that a lot of churches about to be cut down like old dead oak tree. But there's a solution. The blood of Jesus. Preach Him, adore Him, and obey Him. There's hope of a tree, even if it be cut down. Let's go a little further in our text. Hope of a tree there is, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. That it will sprout again. At least hope that it will sprout again. I told you a minute ago about those little suckers, those little sprouts that come out of the side of the base of Grandma's dead oak tree, and it will sprout again. To the dead church at Sardis, the Lord said to a congregation that, and that's the Lord's estimation, was dead as it could be. Nevertheless, in Sardis, There are a few. Even in a dead church situation, God's got a little bit of life here. Might be a little bit of life over there. Dead tree. It's been cut down. There's hope it will sprout again. Boy, I'm glad as Christians we're not without hope. It will sprout again. That's what revival's all about. We evangelists have the privilege, and it is, and the honor, going to churches, preaching God's word, and the good Holy Ghost will rain down in refreshing showers of revival, and the word of God will cut loose and begin to work and challenge, and we'll fall in love with Jesus again. It'll sprout again. Hallelujah. But that verb sprout again, 10 times in our Old Testament. 10 times. It is translated to change. To change. Brother Bagwell, what are you going to make out of that? I'm just going to say this. I hope somebody will agree with me. You get around the Lord Jesus. You get around that old rugged cross. You get around that shed blood. There will be some changing done. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, if that's not change, I don't know. Old things will pass away. All things will become new. Paul talked about the man he used to be, but thank God that's not the man he was. When he wrote those words, I'm glad I got a God who can change. I'm glad I got a God who can bring about revival in my life. Hallelujah. And in the life of a church, and in the life of a family, and in the life of an individual, there is hope. If it's cut down, that it'll sprout it. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. That the tender branch thereof will not cease. I guess this is hope. That's a dead tree. And God's already visioning a tender branch. It means sapling. I wrote it down. Or sucker. The tender branch will not cease. I just want that line to make. The tender branch will not cease. Hermeneutically, I'm probably violating some rules here. But I say Jesus. The tender branch will not cease. You can't associate Jesus with the trunk of a tree. I can. My Bible says in the book of Isaiah, He is a shoot. He is a branch out of the stem of Jesse. That's the Davidic dynasty. That's a dynasty that's dead. There are no more Davidic kings sitting on the throne over yonder in Israel. It is a dead stock. It is a dead trunk of a tree. But God, miraculously, I'm talking virgin birth. I'm talking incarnation. God raised out a little sapling. God raised out a branch out of that dead tree. That branch, and the branch thereof will not cease. Hey, I'm thinking of this. Isaiah 53. The Lord will grow up as a root out of dry ground. There is growing up out of that dead tree trunk a root, that little sapling, that little sucker, that little branch, and that branch will not cease. Will not cease one time. That's all I need. My King James, one time. That verb cease or will cease is translated fail. Only one. Will not fail. Will not fail. God said, I don't care how dead the old Davidic trunk of that tree is. I'm bringing out my little branch. I'm bringing out my little shoot. His name is Jesus. His birth will be a miracle. Everybody thought that old Jewish stuff is dead. But God, out of the tribe of Judah, caused to bring forth from the womb of a little girl who'd never known a man, a virgin named Mary. And his branch, God's branch, will not fail. Will not fail. Can I preach that a few minutes? Jesus will not fail. He's never failed me. Amen, please. He'll never fail you. He has not failed me in answer to prayer. He's not failed me in meeting my needs. He's not failed me in giving me strength. He has never let me down. He has never failed me, and he never will. Hallelujah. I feel a flood of amens coming back. He will not cease. This tree, in a multiplicity of ways, it's a picture, it is a parable, but it's a practical lesson too. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. We're through with verse 7. We must at least discuss briefly verses 8 and 9. Here comes the crux of the whole text. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, though the root thereof wax old in it. I'm going to talk about the root just for a few minutes. It means the Hebrew word, the bottom, the depths, it's the tap root. Though the root wax old in it. That's another bad sign for a tree. But even the roots, no. The root wax old in the tree. Now, Brother Bagley, we know you as a preacher long enough now, you're going to try to find Jesus in that root that waxes old in the earth. I don't know how in the world you're going to come. Let me tell you something Jesus called himself once. He said, I'm the root and the offspring of David. He is not only that miraculous shoot coming out of the tree trunk that's been cut down called Jesse. That's David's daddy. He is also the root. He's the root of it. I'd like to think in my Christian life, he's the root and the shoot. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah to God. He is the root. He is the root. He's the root of the plan of salvation. He is the root of victorious living. He is the root of God's second coming program. He is the root that will rule and reign in the millennium. He is the root who satisfies me every day in my... He is the root, God's holy root. I need to be rooted and grounded in him who is the root of... wax, oh, of all the ages, all the... But one time in my Bible, that Hebrew word for root is translated, I'm going to spell it, H-E-E-L, heel. But it's plural in my King. H-E-E-L-S, heels. Brother Bagel, we're with you. We're trying to find, you fixing that you know to call Jesus a root, and we see that. You gave us a little bit of Bible. Now you're something about Jesus and heels, H-E-E-L-S. I think so. Way back in Genesis, when God told Adam and Eve some of the consequences of their terrible, terrible sin, plunged us all into iniquity, God said, there's a battle starting. And the battle's going to be between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. It's going to be between good and evil. And talking about the devil, said now the devil, he's going to battle the seed of the woman. He's going to battle the Lord Jesus, and he will bruise his heel. He will bruise his heel. But thank God Jesus gets the better end. Jesus is conquering. He will crush the devil's head. That's what happened on Calvary. Jesus heals. I believe literally were bruised. And the devil's head, oh boy, did he get it that day. His head was heels. Heels, the heels of my Savior. When were they bruised on Calvary? Where were they bruised at the old rugged cross? That's Jesus again. Oh, the hope of every dead tree, the hope of every discouraged life, the hope of every dejected Christian. It's Jesus. It's Calvary. It's the blood. It's the heel, the bruised heel of my Savior that has conquered death and hell and the grave. Oh my, though the root it will, though it waxes old in the earth, oh, aging. One time, King James, aging. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Hope I get an amen. He's the Rock of Ages. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the Ancient of Days. I know he only lived to 33. And then he died, buried, and resurrected. But oh my, as Jesus walking around in the Garden of Eden. That is Jesus said the three Hebrew children of five, a pre-incarnate Jesus, a glorious Jesus, the angel of the Lord Jesus. That is said he said, oh my, he is ancient, he is waxed old, he is in Revelation, his hairs are white. That doesn't mean he's wrinkled all up. That doesn't mean he's lost his strength, but it means he's ancient. He's the Ancient of Days. Again, I say, that's Jesus, though the root wax old in the earth, and the stalk die in the ground. Now, usually, that's the death nail in the coffin of any entity in this tree. No, preacher, its stalk now is dead. Its very trunk, that's what the word means, its very trunk is now died in the ground. I don't know what to say. There's a pronouncement of death here. The trunk dies in the ground. But you know what? If I'm wrong, somebody correct me. My Savior did die. My Savior, when I was just a kid preacher, one of my buddies, he's in Bible school with me. I rode with him. He pastored. I was not yet pastoring. Rode with him one Wednesday night, and he preached, and he told his people, and he meant well. He said, now Jesus didn't, he loved Jesus. He just couldn't face the fact Jesus really, he didn't really die. He paid our sin debt, and he shed his blood, but he didn't really die. God got him up. And I want to tell you something. He did really die. If you think you're doing Jesus a favor by saying he didn't die, you're desecrating him. You're blaspheming. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid the sin debt. Oh, his enemy said, no, he swooned it. It was fake. He just acted like, no, no, no. He laid down his life. The soldiers proved he was dead when they put the spear through his side. They proved he was dead when they didn't break his legs. The centurion knew he was dead when he said, truly, that man. And Pilate said, I got to have proof. And they said, yes, he did. Jesus died. He died. Oh, the stock of the foundation, he died in the ground. He died in the ground. I got to say this. I hope there's some amens I can feel when I said, but he didn't stay dead. He died, but he didn't stay dead. He died, but God got him up. He died, but he was gloriously raised. He died, but they said, he's not here. Come look. He is risen. He is a resurrected Savior. Oh my. Can I say this? I don't know if I can get by it. And his resurrection guarantees my resurrection. Because he didn't stay in the grave, I'm not going to stay in the grave. Because he came up at the rapture. If I die before that, I'm going to come up. He come up in a glorified body. I'm going to come up in a glorified body. He came up victor. I'm going to come up victor. That word ground. The stalk die in the ground. It's usually the word dust in Hebrew. Here it's ground. It's an unusual word for ground. But I found where it means rubbish. Rubbish. Filth. The all scouring of the world. trash, garbage. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I was dead in trespasses and sins. And one day he came calling. One day I heard his sweet whosoever will voice. And though I was dead, Adam was dead in his sins in the Garden of Eden, and he heard God calling. I was dead in my sins. I was in the graveyard of faith. I had none. And I heard his voice, and you know what? Just like he came up out of the grave, he saved me. He made me a born-again child of God. He regenerated me. Here's where I need the amen. And I got up out of the rubbish. I got up out of the trash. I got up out of the cesspool of death, and I trusted, and I believed by his amazing grace of God, and he saved me. He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. My Savior died. He is put in the ground. He didn't stay dead. Because of his death, I've been resurrected from the graveyard of sin, and hallelujah, hallelujah, no more rubbish. I'm a child of the King, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Aren't you glad he got us out of the dead grave? Hallelujah. Still, my text paints this tree, literally the tree, in pretty bad shape. It's old. It's been cut down. and even the root is waxed old. And even the trunk has died in the ground. Preachers, any hope for this thing? That's how the text started. There is hope. Look at verse 9. Look with me. At verse 9, yet, through the scent of water, it will bud. Brother Bill, that it's got to be this tree. It is not Jesus budding. Thank God, he's alive forevermore. It, the tree, will bud. I think that's called a miracle. Come to think of it, I believe every time a sinner gets saved, it's a miracle. Every time somebody gets a miracle of miracles because of our Lord's vicarious death, it will bud. Let me give you the word bud. It literally means to flourish. It means, and I don't know if I can illustrate it in the camera right here in front, it will pop out. It will explode. It will revibrate with life and vitality and health and wholesomeness. It will bud. It, what can make a dead church spring back to life? What can make a cold, lukewarm Christian spark back with a desire to serve God? It will bud. Not only that, it'll bring forth limbs. It'll bring forth boughs like a plant. It will, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Oh my, it'll branch out and it'll bear fruit to the glory of God. How'd all that happen? How this dead tree get revived like that? How's it going to end up being like a plant, like a plantation? Through the scent of water. Through the scent of water. If the tree were alive, well, if the tree could smell, is dead for all practical. It would get a whiff. It would get a scent of water. Not a dousing, I already said it. A scent of water. Let me give you that word scent. It comes from ruach. R-U-A-C-H. It's a pretty common Hebrew noun. In fact, the word itself is ruach. Scent comes from ruach, its root. And here's what ruach means. Spirit. Spirit. It is the Old Testament word for the Spirit of God. What happens to this tree that it pops back to life? What happens to this tree that it begins to... The Holy Spirit, the scent. The scent of God's presence shows up. I'll tell you, get me an amen. The Holy Ghost can do many a thing in the life of a Christian. He can revive me. He can thrill me. He can excite me. He can give me love, and He can give me peace, and He can give me joy, and He can give me victory through the sin of what? I need an amen. There'll never be revival apart from the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. The sin. But the sin of what? The sin of asphalt down yonder in the tar pit?
No.
The sin of some good bread, home cooking? No. The sin of water. Something about water. And that old looking dead tree. The sin of water. Preacher Bagwell, what in the world can that mean? And of course, when trees get water, they grow. When plants get water, they grow. But spiritually, the sin of water, I'm convinced. Brother Roy, you may want to apply it another way, and I'll respect any way you go with it, biblically speaking. But I think that's, I need an amen, the water of the Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, the water of the Word. Jesus said, now, John 15, ye are clean through the words that I have spoken. The Word of God, it'll cleanse me. The Word of God, it'll give me faith. Romans 10, 17, the Word of God, it'll give me comfort. Romans 15, 14, the Word of God, through the sin of water. You let an old dried up congregation get in a revival meeting, and some Holy Ghost pastor, he gets to preaching the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost begins to bless it. The sin of water will waft through that place. The sin of water. We'll all get in, and we'll begin tree. We'll begin to revive. We'll begin to put out a little shoot, a little something. We'll begin to bud. We'll begin to branch out. We'll begin to spark through the sin of the water of the Word of God. I want to end this sermon thanking God for the Word. I went through Psalm 119. Oh, what God's Word will do. Oh, how God's Word will strengthen me. Oh, how God's Word will increase my hope. Oh, how thy words were found and I did eat them. And then Job and Jeremiah, it's more than my necessary food. And Jesus said, I got meat to eat that you know not the Word of God. Oh, the Holy Ghost and the Word. Combine them, you will have R-E-V-I-V-A-L. You will bud. You will spring forth. You will sprout again. Glory to God. Amen. Through the scent of water, you'll bud. You'll bring forth. That means make. You'll bring forth boughs. That word boughs 47 times in our King James Bible is translated harvest. You'll bring forth a harvest. Oh, preacher, that was a dead old tree. We didn't hold out much hope for it at all, if you don't know the truth. And now it's going to bring forth a harvest. And now, like a plant, like a plantation, literally, it's going to bring forth fruit, much fruit. Oh, my, to the glory of God. Look dead. Look like it wasn't going to ever do anything again for God. But the Holy Ghost showed up. The Word of God was preached in fact, the scent of water. And all good things began to happen. Some of it'll bear 30-fold, and some of it 60-fold, I'm presuming, and some of it 100-fold. Good things will happen to what looked like a dead tree because of Jesus, because of Calvary, because of the Holy Ghost, because of the sin of water, because of the power of the Word of God. Amen. I'm through with my sermon. I'm just wondering. Listen to me. How long's it been since you got in a book? How long's it been since you picked up your Bible and smelled it? I like the smell of leather, but that's not what spiritually you digested it. Spiritually you enjoyed it. Spiritually you studied it. If you'll do that, you'll begin to get the scent of something good. And the Holy Ghost will blow through your heart. And the Holy Ghost will begin to teach you. He'll illuminate us in the Word. You'll get the scent, Holy Ghost, of water, the Word of God. And I'll make a prediction. You'll do a little sprouting. You'll do a little springing forth. You'll do a little bearing fruit. That's a message God laid on my heart tonight. Pick up your Bible when it's through. And just appreciate it. Thank God for it. Then open it up and study it and read it. Get a little sin of it. Brother Roy, I'm praying these revival sermons, though preached in a really disadvantageous situation, though preached through a camera, I'm praying this series of revival sermons will bring us all the scent of water, will bring us all encouragement and resourceful help. And if that happens, we all know the result. We will grow to the honor and glory of our Savior. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word when empowered by the Holy Spirit. Use this message to speak to our hearts tonight, challenging us to get into our Bibles, claiming the presence, begging the presence of the Holy Ghost to teach us. May the scent of water stir deep within us, and may revival be the result. In Jesus' name, amen.